Change management is a core service offering for KPMG and most of the other consultancies we track here at TBR. But I think we also heard very strong examples of use cases while on site at the event about how KPMG did the change management alongside with their clients. So I think it is probably the hardest of all services of any IT services company can do. And not that the companies are incapable of doing, it's about how you measure the success of a change management program.
Welcome to TBR Talks, decoding strategies and ecosystems of the globe's top tech firms, where we talk business model disruption in the broad technology ecosystem, from management consultancies to systems integrators, hyperscalers to independent software vendors, telecom operators to network and infrastructure vendors, and chip manufacturers to value-added resellers. We'll be answering some of the key intelligence questions we've heard from executives and business unit leaders among the leading professional IT services and telecom vendors. I'm Patrick Heffernan, Principal Analyst, and today we'll be talking about KPMG's Global Analyst Day at Lake House with Boz Christoph, Principal Analyst for TBR's Digital Transformation Practice, Katie Merrill, Senior Analyst for TBR's Cloud and Software Practice, and Alex DeMule, Analyst for TBR's Cloud and Software Practice. Boz, Katie, and Alex, thank you for coming back to the podcast. Season 3, very exciting. And I think the first time we've done one with four people in the room that I can recall. So you guys are breaking some new ground here. The four of us, plus our colleague Kelly Lashiska, were all at KPMG Lake House recently for a Global Analyst Summit, which was enormous fun. A couple days, I had a really good time, played a little mini golf, which was good. Alex, congratulations, one by one stroke. One stroke over me. I'm not going to say how many strokes you had over Katie and Kelly, but right?
Yeah.
Today, a little bit different. We've done sort of event perspectives, and we're still going to publish an event perspective on this. I'm sure it's out there already. But what I wanted to do was just capture some of the quotes that I heard and wrote down and get your reactions to them. So these are, as you know, when I sit there at these events, I tend to just write down verbatim what somebody said when it hits me as being pretty important. I'm not going to say who said this quote. I'm just going to read the quote, and then I'm going to ask you guys to all react to it. This first one is about one of the ecosystem leaders talked about the more than just one-to-one alliances, but the many-to-many relationships. And what he said was, we need to show up understanding how these many-to-many relationships work, not working them out ad hoc at clients. Boz, I'll make you go first. What do you make of that?
I would say this resonates a lot with what, first of all, we've been talking about for the last 18 months, 24 months now, and actually came very loud and clear in the last iteration of our Voice of the Partner report that we published last summer. So I think it's all about trust and preparation and investment in skilled resources, strength resources, knowledge management, you know, and thinking about that the ecosystem is growing, and it's growing in a different way, meaning that you are not just a two-dimensional partner with, you still are, but you need to think about the implications of the IT architecture of the client. You have the infrastructure, you have the SaaS layer, you have the PaaS layer, you have the data layer. So all these are different vendors that you typically interact on a one-on-one basis. But as clients consolidate their vendor rosters, as clients look to optimize their existing IT spend, they're also looking to optimize and consolidate their kind of like, you know, suppliers, right? So for vendors, they need to be very sharp when they show to the client about who are they partnering best with across the IT stack, understanding the client's IT architecture. So kind of the notion of like multi-party alliance is exactly that, demonstrating the trust in preparation with joint investments and really trying to get the most out of for the client, essentially, because clients already have at least three or more vendors that they are interacting with, you know, on the strategy side, on the implementation side, on the managed services side, and then plus a technology vendor or two. So often clients interact with at least, you know, half a dozen of vendors. So as a IT services provider, a consultancy, and trying to position yourself as an orchestrator of the ecosystem, you need to make sure you know which vendors are on site and what's your relationship with those vendors and how deep you can go with them at the, before you even get to the client.
So you're coming at that from the the consultancy, from the KPMG mindset. Katie, how did that resonate with you when you think about it from the software or cloud mindset?
Sure. So I think, well, to answer your question on the quote, I think it was a testament that KPMG recognized that the opportunity and the money is flowing through the ecosystem. And early on, they mentioned like building the firm of the future. And of course, there's a lot of moving pieces to that. But one of them that they really hit home was the alliance partners, the tech alliance partners, specifically those seven SaaS and PaaS vendors. And maybe you have a different opinion, but I think from some of the peers, maybe we haven't seen that kind of emphasis, or at least to the same degree. So that was very compelling. And on the tri-party alliance structure, you know, a recognition that, to Boz's point, to be an orchestrator of the ISVs that may themselves not have the right partnership or go to market with each other. So, you know, KPMG's role coming in and connecting that with, you know, the system of record in the back end, the actual platform that you're building on, and then the front office. So all those pieces coming together and using that to actually deliver a client outcome.
Yeah. And Alex, did you see it similarly? Your coverage is similar to Katie's. How did that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think very similarly. You know, the technology ecosystems that have been forming for years and still forming today as we go into new different emerging technology areas, technology ecosystems do matter. There is differentiation there. Sometimes it's the case where, you know, everyone's working with everyone, but that's not always the case. There are instances where there's favoritism to a certain extent. There's competitive pressures that lead to that favoritism. And we see integrations and technology ecosystems form sort of around these constraints. And so as a services firm, understanding that landscape and understanding where that differentiation actually exists versus a more, you know, ubiquitous approach, it's very important, and it's getting more important.
Yeah, and I think for me, one of the things that jumped out was this idea of showing up at the client. And so that implies that you, the preparation that goes into it includes understanding that it's not just like every other ecosystem, understanding that, you know, it is okay to pick those six or seven you're going to work with. And then Boz, to your point, like it is about who shows up as the orchestrator, who shows up as the one that can wrangle all those technology partners together. All right, so let's go to another quote, and we're going to stick with alliance partners here. So the quote was, our alliance partners are learning with us, either leaning or learning. My notes are not always easy for me to read. It's my own handwriting. I'll say leaning. Are leaning with us and understand solutions must be industry specific. So Katie, from your perspective, that is something we know that the hyperscalers and the software vendors look to their services and their consultancies for, but is that industry specific where the whole ecosystem is going?
I think to some extent, yes. I know years ago we covered the trend of industry cloud, and now that's really morphed into industry AI. And I can tell you just on the cloud buyer perspective, industry cloud was really kind of dismissed as like marketing hype, and they didn't see a lot of value in a quote unquote out of the box industry cloud solution. So I think in that sense, the value that, you know, a KPMG can provide from that industry perspective, you know, that's obviously important. I think, you know, it really depends on the vendor. If you look at like a Google Cloud, you know, leading with healthcare and some of their customizations around Vertex, and we know KPMG has a big investment in their Google Cloud practice going, versus some other vendors, AWS and maybe some others a little bit more horizontal led. So I think it really depends on the vendor, but I think we definitely see that level of customization and nuance heading that way.
Okay. And Alex, this I think was your first KPMG event, right?
It was.
So for you, is that industry emphasis by KPMG, does that sort of resonate with you when you think about? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, as Katie just mentioned, with sort of this shift between industry cloud to industry AI, you know, because like she's exactly right. You know, we hear around like we're just sort of, it's more marketing hype than anything else. You know, now I'm trying to think about sort of reaction to like industry AI, and maybe it's too early to say whether or not it'll have that sort of criticism. I feel like my gut is that it won't have that criticism, because I feel like the power and the just the the data aspect and having domain specific data being in pre-training models on that data, to me, it seems like it's going to be something that is a differentiator and is something that is going to be adding value. I think that right now, maybe it's too soon to tell, but there's a lot of money going towards that direction. A lot of vendors focusing on building those industry models. So it's something that there's a lot of focus in, and I guess time will tell whether or not that focus ends up being more marketing hype or real differentiating value.
But if it's going to be real differentiating value, a firm like KPMG that is already having those industry mm-hmm. discussions with their partners
absolutely
has an advantage. Buzz, 100%. This was not your first KPMG event.
No.
Not by a long shot. Your thoughts on that quote?
I was just listening to what KNLS was talking, and I'm just thinking about, to Alex's point, about those small language models, right? So there's definitely an opportunity. I think there has always been an opportunity for vendors to apply their industry knowledge to the clients, because clients live in the industry, right? And having this industry-specific data will be ever so important to drive a more targeted discussions, more outcome-based discussions. And obviously, it's easier to talk to existing clients because they know you, they know the industry. But I think there is the bulk and shift, you know, in the court of the technology vendors to think about the industry through a different way as they build the solutions, as they partner. Obviously, the consultancies like KPMG bring that layer of specialization, know it, but aligning from the get-go, from the development of a solution, small language model, otherwise, I you know, with the technology partner, thinking about the industry first, I think it would be so important, because it's going to be on a partner-based platform, and you're going to just put the Accelerator industry wrapper, or it's going to be specific custom model development with industry knowledge at the client side with the client data. So having those industry conversations with the technology partners, I think, will be really important from the beginning, rather than just being a one blanket statement and say, we have XYZ, you know, industry models, right? It's you need to be very strategic about how you develop, how you sell it, and how you manage with your clients.
And if I remember right, there were a few industry-specific leaders there, healthcare in particular, at the event. But it would be curious to see a year from now when they do their next analyst summit, are there, based on this discussion we're having now about the importance of industry to their technology partners, will there be more KPMG industry leaders mm-hmm. emphasizing the importance of industry going forward? So, all right, two more quotes. This one, Alex, I'll start with you. The quote was, "We are passionate about being client zero, what we often call customer zero." But what do you make of that, passionate about being client zero?
I think that it's like the exact stance to take right now. And I think that the big example, we always talk about Gen AI, you know, what they're doing to build in-house Gen AI capabilities, you know, when we talk about Velocity and Clara, like stuff that's core to their business, that's just something that you can point to in the efficiencies that they can kind of get within their own operations. It's really the approach that needs to be taken. And, you know, I was just talking about change management. I think maybe we'll be talking about it more. It's just, as you're setting up a strategy behind Gen AI change management, if you've already gone through that process internally, you're so much better prepared to go to the client and say, this is how we got our employees engaging with this internally built tool. This is how we did it. And being able to kind of have those best practices dialed from experience, I think makes a world of difference.
Yeah, and we're going to get to change management in a second, but you mentioned Clara, and I think I shocked Boz when I told him after the event that the KPMG Clara, the audit platform demo breakout, was my favorite. I dug what they were talking about when it comes to audit, which I have never, ever said in my life. So, Boz, what's your thought on the passionate about being client zero?
Scale. I mean, KPMG, obviously, they have a large client base, but the majority of the business comes from large enterprises, right? Obviously, they have some mid-sized clients as well in the different segments, in different countries, jurisdictions, regions, yada, yada. But I think because KPMG is a large firm, applying being customer zero, being passionate about it, it's about understanding how you can apply a technology like that at scale, right? And translating that back to the client. So you know that the most important clients are is mostly equal to your size.
Yeah.
And talking about scale, you need to be able to have that application and be like more of an apples to apples comparison. So for me, being passionate about being customer zero is about scale, demonstrating scale and ability to manage risk at scale.
That's fascinating. I hadn't thought of it that way. All right, Katie, your thoughts on being passionate about client zero?
Yeah, just to follow in, you know, Boz and Alex, I think it's more just a necessity, but I will say it's very aligned too with the tech partners doing mm-hmm. client zero and implementing their own tech and mm-hmm. communicating, you know, value either quantitatively or qualitatively to the clients around Gen AI. So having the partners, it's another way for the partners to align on delivering the Gen AI value to the client.
Right. And for the tech partner, scale is everything. So mm-hmm. so that feeds right into what you're saying, Boz. And also, we've had so many conversations about when it comes to Gen AI, like that, the how hard the leap is from a proof of concept to scale. And for KPMG to be able to say, you know, we're coming in with scale proven because we're client zero. Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. All right. Last one is, in fact, change management. And the quote is, "The road to value is paved with human behavior and change." I almost jumped out of my seat when she said this, because to just yell amen, amen, amen. Of course it is. And as we have said for a decade now, the technology is never the problem. The humans are the problem. Mm-hmm. And change management, as you said earlier, is really a critical part of this. So, Boz, I'll go back to you to start. The road to value is paved with human behavior and change. Obviously, you know what I think about that. How did that quote resonate with you?
Well, I think just going, if you go back to the previous quote about the passion of being customer zero, applying change management to itself, I think it's important. But, you know, that's another part of the lessons and how you can actually connect with the clients about change management, right? Change management is a core service offering for KPMG and most of the other consultancies we track here at TBR. But I think we also heard very strong examples of use cases while on site at the event about how KPMG did the change management alongside with their clients. So I think it is probably the hardest of all services any IT services company can do. And not that the companies are incapable of doing it, it's about how you measure the success of a change management program, essentially.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing. And it's a good problem to have, because you can always come back and continue the change management. It's like a digital transformation. Change management is never ending, essentially.
Right.
So it's a good way to think about it. But it also starts with the recognition that, to your point, it's not the technology, it's the people's problem.
Yeah.
I think we talked earlier in a different conversation about how with AI, just to kind of continue on that technology, any other technology, but the AI specifically right now, Gen AI is presenting such a hesitation among employees, and almost feels like it's sometimes enterprise employees maybe sabotaging the adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard, you know, because they may be seeing that as a threat to their existing, you know, positions. So change management, it's a prerequisite, but it's also just kind of a necessary evil that has to happen. And without it, you know, it's a, you know, no technology will be, you know, will survive.
Right.
Yeah.
So Katie, KPMG said the road to value is paved with basically change management. Boz just described change management as a necessary evil. So on the road to value, is there a necessary... How did it resonate with you? What did you think when you heard that?
Just when I heard that, I mean, we talked to enterprise cloud customers, and I have so many quotes where they've actually said, like, change management is the hardest part. So it's definitely something that we've actually seen firsthand in our research. So that's really the first thing that hit me. And I know there were a lot of customer stories at the event where they talked about where KPMG came in and actually implemented a change management group, either, you know, after kind of the technology modernization and kind of before the data piece. So, you know, we had a lot of those examples, and then just kind of going forward and looking for where AI plays into all this, specifically agentic AI and kind of the different types of, you know, the collaborator agents that work with the human and are more context aware, and kind of how that will play in more the creative problem solving aspect of it. So yeah, that's my thought on that.
Excellent. All right. And Alex, what did you think when you heard that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I just have to reiterate what my colleagues have already said, because I think they have hit the nail on the head. You know, the customer breakout for CVS, the Sherwin-Williams CFO, mm-hmm. like this idea of legacy employees entrenched in old ways, making it hard to progress with these transformational efforts, you know,
yeah.
it's always a recurring theme. And those two didn't even involve AI. So it's something that's right. important with all IT projects. And I do think that with AI, it takes a step up even in importance because of the magnitude of the change that it can have on an employee's day-to-day life if we continue to go down this path of where we think we're going. So it's something that is going to be very hard, and that's going to be at the user level, and it's going to be something that has to be tackled by a bunch of different ways, whether that be at the technology layer. You know, I've talked about this with others about, you know, abstracting agents away. And so how are you managing and orchestrating agents with as few prompts as possible? So the end person, the human engaging with these agents, they're interacting with the agents as little as possible. And that is sort of the technology side of it, teaching the user how to prompt accurately, precisely, so that the tool can do what the employee wants it to do. It's a new area that pretty much everybody's coming at with a beginner's mindset.
Right.
You know,
like, right.
we're all prompt newbies at this point. Like, maybe some of us have taken more courses than others, but, you know, across the economy, it is a beginner mindset when it comes to Gen AI and interacting and using Gen AI. And that has to be something that's handled with training and a technology consideration.
Yeah, and that gets really into the human behavior part of that quote. And I think one thing we heard about during one of the sessions was a transformation that had gone on where they intentionally didn't use the word transformation. They actually came up with a name for the project. I think it was Leapfrog or something like that, where they talked about it. So they didn't have to use the word transformation, which fits right in with sort of the human behavior part. You want to do this change, but you don't want to call change management. You don't want to call it digital transformation. Mm-hmm. You want to call it something else. So as always, when we do these wrap-ups from an event that we attend, we always have to talk about either the most fun part of it, the best part in this case about Lakehouse as a facility, or the best food. So I'll let you guys choose what you want to say, whether there was something that you really loved about Lakehouse. Boz, you've been a couple times now. Katie, you've been a couple times too, right? Or was this was the first time too. All right. So what you loved about Lakehouse, or what food you loved, or just overall, what was the most fun part of the experience? Boz, you're the most experienced one, so you have to go first.
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't spend the entire time, but I was okay. So that was kind of like my personal kind of like, you know, oh, I should have, you know, I should have spent more time. But what I really enjoy obviously the facility is fantastic, you know, but I really like how, you know, KPMG gives us a chance to browse around the, you know, the gift shop and pick up some good swag. So I definitely appreciate that, you know, I mean, picked up, you know, from KPMG. So,
nice.
Yeah, so definitely appreciate about that.
Nice. Katie, how about you? What was the best part, or the best, whatever?
The facility, obviously great. I was very surprised. I mean, you guys told me how big it was before going in there, but I was very surprised at, you know, the magnitude of the facility and all the amenities. I enjoyed using the gym and playing golf with you guys. So yeah, it was all around a great experience.
Playing golf, but it was mini golf. So
mini golf. Yeah,
gotta make it so we don't want anyone to mistake that we went to Lakehouse and played 9 real holes. Alex?
For me, it was the networking with KPMG folk. You know, this was my first KPMG Lakehouse Analyst Day, and I've been on, you know, Teams calls with a lot of these folks, but I've never met them in person. And so being able to meet them in person and, you know, get their takes on some of the same questions I'm thinking about, that was really good. I felt like I walked away feeling like I made some good connections, and I really enjoyed just, you know, talking to them as people and learning about their personal lives a little bit too.
Yeah.
A lot of really good people over there.
Yeah, a lot of really good people. And I'll say, because this is the podcast that I do all the time, I get to say three things that I loved. One, the one-on-ones. Everybody showed up for those one-on-ones, like so tuned into who we are, like what we care about. Obviously, I'd met a number of them before, but they were, I mean, those one-on-ones were like, let's go. There was no trying to extract any information. They were just coming right at us with, you know, this is what we think, and asking us questions. That was really good. Another thing I really liked was when one of the KPMG leaders told me that they had read Boz's most recent piece about the legal acquisition they made, which was great that they had read it. And then they were like, I don't know why you even wrote that. It didn't even matter anyway. So it was very dismissive of your piece, which I thought was very funny. And then I loved the first night sitting around having drinks with the, it was to your point, Alex, talking with Kevin, one of the people that was there, but just sitting around with the KPMG, it was so relaxed. And I also love the fact that I had the Barolo, and by the end of the night, pretty much everybody was having the Barolo. I think we drained all their bottles there of that particular wine. So it was enormous fun. So any other last words on the KPMG event before we wrap?
Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, I can't wait to go
back. Hopefully I can make the entire of it.
I love 80 degree heat in the winter.
Yeah, true. Leaving Massachusetts for the warmth of Orlando was nice a couple weeks ago. So excellent. Boz, Katie, Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week, I'll be speaking with TBR senior analyst Kelly Lashiska about her takeaways from KPMG's Global Analyst Day and all things management consulting.
Don't forget to send us your key intelligence questions on business strategy, ecosystems, and management consulting through the form in the show notes below. Visit tbri.com to learn how we help tech companies, large and small, answer these questions with the research, data, and analysis my guests bring to this conversation every week. Once again, I'm your host, Patrick Heffernan, Principal Analyst at TBR. Thanks for joining us, and see you next week.